Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Semi-Scribbled Podcast. I'm your host Akinyi and today we'll be discussing This Mournable Body by Tsitsi Dangarembwa. So this book was one of the best books that I've read in 2020, and me saying that is not hyperbole, and it's also quite a turnaround as to how I felt about this book when I started reading it. I even went on to Twitter and Instagram and said I was struggling with reading the book because I was in the beginning. Does this mean it was a slow burner in the beginning? No, it's not. In fact, it's the opposite of that. It sort of draws you in right from the start and makes you feel things from the very beginning that you might not want to feel and you might want to DNF it. Please don't. Just hang in there. Feel the emotions, ride the wave, and get to the end. So what's this book about? This book follows the life of Tambu Tsai, who we later call Tambu, who is a lady in her 30s in Harare. We first find Tambu Tsai in a hostel where she has overstayed her welcome because she's over the age restriction for being in the hostel. So on this first day, she's preparing herself to go out for an interview in order to secure other accommodation. The book is divided into three parts. The first part is ebbing, the second part is suspension, and the third part is arriving. And I think these names really do fit the progression of this story. It starts out putting you in a harsh reality of what it is like to be a woman in your mid-30s or in your 30s in Harare in or about 1980s or the 1990s. So this is just after Harare has gained independence and is now coming into its own under the new regime. You are unemployed. So it's very stark in that sense because Tambu, though she does have savings, she was wise enough to save some money or lucky enough to actually know how to save some money. Her savings are dwindling and she needs to really sort of figure her life out in order to progress to the next step. Because clearly we're starting out with her being homeless, unemployed. Life is not looking really good for Tambu. And so that first part of the book is very dark. Very stark for me. And that's why I did not really want to finish it because I was like, how is it that Tambu is so deep in this darkness, but she's just dropping? The character that's developed by Tsitsi is real and human. I know I say this about most of the books that I review on this podcast, but this book, it has very real characters. And what I mean by that is that they're not one-dimensional. We definitely get to see them being whole human beings with a little bit more insight on the darker parts of them. Tambu should be really trying to sort herself out and figure her way out of where she is. But like any other human, she's busy looking at other people who she thinks have it better than her and projecting such negativity towards them. And the consequences of that in the first part of the book is that she doesn't really seem to be getting anywhere with her life because she's just constantly dragged in this negative cycle of trying things that are not working out for her, missing out opportunities, and hating on other people who seem to just be happy-go-lucky in their life. So that's the first part. This spiral goes on, and eventually Tambu lands in a mental health institution. There is where she starts to sort of dig into how she ended up where she ended up, and we get to know Tambu a little bit better. And this is where I started finding little spots of empathy for Tambu because nobody is born just the way you find them in their 30s, right? There are journeys that people take in order to be who they are, even if those journeys don't seem very overt. There's social conditioning that happens. And this book is a part three in a series of three books. Not that they are supposed to be read together, but Nervous Conditions, I think, is the first part of this book, and there's a second part in between. So if you've read those, you might be able to understand Tambu the character better, but you don't have to read them in order to get her or in order to appreciate this book. I'm in that latter group. I haven't read the first two books. Tambu takes this spiral, and this mental spiral, you start asking yourself, where is this going to go? But you're just literally not even halfway through the book. So you know the story will continue. And it does. She does venture out from the health facility. She is embraced by her cousin, Nyasha, who is married to a German named Leon, and who Tambu refers to as cousin brother-in-law, which is very interesting and very funny to me. Tsitsi does manage to sprinkle some humor along the darkest parts of this book, which is really helpful in terms of releasing some of the tension that's in there. Even as she's sort of rescued by her cousin, who takes her into her home and is given this new lease to life, it's just interesting that Tambu still manages to find herself on her high horse and judging other people. And so I ask myself, how am I to really relate and empathize with this character? But it is real. These are things that happen. These are sort of mechanisms that certain people use or employ in order to escape their own lives. The commentary when she's with Nyasha is very interesting. But before we get to her living with Nyasha, there's also a period in time where she does secure living quarters when she's renting a room at Widow Manyanga's house, and she gets to meet Manyanga's sons. I think there are three of them. And there also she bumps into a relative who's a cousin called Christine. Christine is one of my favorite characters because Christine tells it as it is. Christine sort of sees life being difficult. She does recognize the trappings of poverty, but she sort of tries to steer Tambu, not really by telling her what to do, but sort of asking her questions that seem to realign her with thinking about her principles and her role in certain events that happen in the book. We get to know Christine there, and Christine's a very interesting character. So jumping far ahead into the end of the second part and the beginning of the third part, we are happy to see that Tambu sort of gets her life together. So not only does she have a place to live, she has her own place to live, and she really is excited about having her own kitchen. And I guess I can relate to that. Having gone through what she had been through previously, she can't believe that she has this wonderful kitchen. She gets to have people who work for her in the house that she's living in. And we need to put this in context as to where Tambu has come from. That might seem like commonplace for people, but this is a journey that Tambu has been through in not a very long period of time. Remember that Tambu does have a university degree, and she was employed before, but she made certain decisions that landed her in the hostel. So now she's managed to sort of do a 180. And there's a reason why I'm saying a 180. She does a 180 and finds that she's got a new job. She's got a new home, which is a lovely home with a swimming pool where her cousin and her nephews and nieces can come and visit her. So we are now rooting for Tambu. It seems that everything is going well. But life will life. Things will happen. Curveballs are thrown. And her need to escape poverty, to hang on to these newfound things, really puts her in a place where there's no limit in terms of what she will do to remain in this place of relative comfort. That's when all these life lessons kick in for the reader and for Tambu as well, to sort of ask yourself, how far will you go? What is your limit? Tambu doesn't seem to have one. Even when you realize that you don't have a limit, there are consequences to that choice, because everything is a choice in life and every choice has a consequence. How do you live with the consequence of the decisions that you make? Because after a certain period of time, you can no longer blame others. Tambu sort of had a scapegoat to blame in every aspect of the things that happened to her in this book. There's always somebody else to blame. That's why she was very irritating and annoying. But it gets to a point where, honey, there's no one else you can point a finger at. How are you going to deal with this? I was very happy with the ending of this book, despite taking me through a lot of heavy emotions, despite triggering me, because these are very real concerns that are in this book. The ending of the book was very hopeful. I thank Tsitsi for not dumping us in the middle of a forest and leaving us crying alone. She really showed us the way to the other end, and I loved it. Of course, there were consequences for that and to that. There was a sense of community in this book, and it runs through and through from the beginning to the end of this book about how community is important. But the real source of stability, the real source of peace comes from inside a person. We see Tambu sort of finding her journey through that. Your peace is sort of interconnected with the peace of others, basically. At least that's the message that I got from this book. I would definitely recommend that you read it. There is a lot that happens in this book that I have not mentioned because I do not want to spoil it. Trigger warnings in this book, I would say, is the suicide ideation. There's a lot of domestic violence. There's also just violence, plain violence. There are loads of stereotypes that are brought up in this book from the different places in society that different people occupy. But we get to interrogate these stereotypes and ask ourselves how we participate in perpetuating them. There is a lot of laughter as well in the book. Let me tell you, honey, if you have not done some work about your boundaries with friends, with family, this book is going to point a finger at your nose. So please do read it. I would definitely recommend it. I really enjoyed this book. I will go back to reading this book. How I got through the book in order to make it for this episode of the podcast is that I listened to the audiobook. A comment on the audiobook is that I did not really like the narration. The voice of the narrator was fine, but the pronunciation of the names was a massacre, and some of the characters didn't really come out well for me. Reading the book is always my preferred choice, but audiobooks, of course, help you get to the end faster. I always get my audiobooks from Audible, and I am working on getting an affiliate link for that, so that look out for that soon. That's all I have to say about this Mournable Body by Tsitsi Dangarembwa. I do hope you will reach out and get it and read it and let me know what you think. As usual, hit us up on our social media. You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at podcast_semi. That's at podcast_semi. That's both Twitter and Instagram. You can send us an email at semiscribbledpod@gmail.com. That's semiscribbledpod@gmail.com. And we look forward to hearing from you and seeing you. Until next time, bye.